You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
Today, as I mentioned, we have our second to last lecture of the Great Lenten Lecture Series. Many times you've heard me say that after the divine services, the most important thing that we do in this church is our church school. The education of the children is so, so important. So, Lilia Vrshinina, who is leading the church school, is here to talk to us about that very important ministry in the parish. So, we'll ask your attention while she is speaking. We'll just ask your attention while she's speaking. We won't go over any possible scenarios that could happen. I'm sure everything will be just fine. So, without further ado, let's welcome Lilia for her lecture.
Coordinator of the church school at St. Vladimir's, and I'm happy to have this opportunity to talk about our parish church school. I will start from the goals of the church school, then I will cover the structure of the church school, then I will go to the classes, to the specifics of each class. We have three age groups in our church school, and then I will conclude with the challenges which church school experiences and where we probably can get your help with. So I will start from the goals. Church school has two goals. The first goal, naturally, is to teach Orthodox basics. Probably I don't need to talk here too much, it's natural, it's obvious. This is why we need the church school. In order to teach the basics about our Orthodox faith. The second goal is not that obvious, but it is as important as the first one. The second goal is to form Orthodox identity in our kids. Otherwise, what we all could do, take a textbook and teach our kids at home, but we still think that it's important to bring kids to church school. So why we need it? I can give you an example. For example, somebody fall in love with ancient Greek society. And he wants to be an ancient Greek person. He read thousands of books about ancient Greek society. Can we say that this person is ancient Greek? Probably not. Probably this person is a very knowledgeable person about the ancient Greek society, but he probably doesn't have this identity. In order to have this identity of an ancient Greek person, a person needs to live among these people. He needs to see what they do, how they speak, and he needs to be exposed to everyday life of these people. Therefore, in order to form Orthodox identity, kids need to be among Orthodox kids. And what is very important, kids need to go to the services, to the liturgy and to the vigil service. So after our classes, which we teach on Saturday evening, Father Gregory invites parents to bring kids to the vigil. Because we're here where we practice our knowledge. And this is practical application of the knowledge which we teach at our classes. So these are two goals of the church school. To give knowledge about our Orthodox faith and to form Orthodox identity in our children. Structure of the church school. So priest is above all, he oversees church school, he blesses decisions in the church school. And if you want a metaphor, let's think about Google Maps. It's like a satellite view, if you think about Google Maps. So Father Gregory oversees the service program as any other ministry at church. As I mentioned, Father Gregory places decisions. It's important to mention what does it mean, priest blessing, because sometimes people come to me and said, I have a great idea, let's do this, and I got Father Gregory's blessing, Father Gregory's blessing. And I asked, is it really, was it really a blessing? So to challenge ourselves, if you spoke with the priest and priest was nodding, can we consider it a blessing? Yeah, probably not. Or if priest says it's actually a great idea, can we consider it a blessing? Probably not. So there, what we consider in Orthodox Church priest blessing, when person come to the priest and ask, Father, please bless me for this and this. And a priest blesses. So when somebody comes to me and suggests some idea, I always, and he says, I got blessing, I ask, did a priest bless, or it's really a blessing? So it's important that our priest blesses all our decisions before we do anything at our church. Then next level, coordinator, which is myself. So it's more obvious about the priest, the role of the priest in the church. So it's more obvious the teachers who do the hard work. And church school is possible because we've got teachers. But it's less obvious about the coordinator. So why do we need a coordinator at the church school? First of all, coordinator saves lots of energy for the priest. Imagine we have, say, seven teachers, and each teacher would email, say, three emails per week. Six teachers, 18 emails per week. It's overwhelming, considering that Father Gregory oversees not only this ministry at church, but lots of other ministries. So I always ask teachers and parents, please forward all emails to me. What I do, I will make a review email, a summary email with bullets, first, second, third. And Father Gregory replies, yes on first, no on second, yes on third. So it saves lots of energy. In addition, as I said, priest, the metaphor in terms of Google Maps is satellite view. A priest is not able to keep every tiny detail of every ministry. It's just completely impossible. It's not physically possible. So a leader of each ministry has all these details in mind. So if you have a question or you ask a blessing of the priest before talking to me, what happens, Father Gregory doesn't remember everything. And he says, yes, it's a great idea. But then something comes up what he doesn't remember because he oversees so many things. And then I say, yes, but we have this and this at this day, so it's impossible, we can't do it. To avoid this, it's better to forward all emails to me, and then I will make a summary, I will remind if needed, if I see something, I need to remind something. And so I will make a summary email to the priest. So a coordinator in church school, he's a mediator between parents, priests, and teachers. And finally, the role of the teachers, it's obvious. Teachers teach kids. Teachers also prepare kids for the church feasts. For example, the youngest group, which is my favorite, it's so sweet to see, to be exposed and to see how teachers teach the youngest group. They learn poetry, they learn song, in addition to the knowledge, teachers actually give their very good knowledge. So this is another role which teachers do. In addition to teaching, they also learn poetry, songs with the kids. And going back to the Google Maps, teachers are city view. They are people who have very tiny detail of what is going on during the church school, during the class. So in case you have questions, let's speak who you need to direct your questions, priest, coordinator, or teachers. If you have questions which relate to a particular class, teachers are your best bet. If you have confidential questions related to your child, you are very welcome to call to Father Gregory with your question. In case you have ideas, plannings, events, then the best bet is the coordinator. And I myself don't make any decisions on my own. If I get any ideas, I send email to the whole group. We've got a very nice group of teachers. They are very smart. We discuss it within the group. We consider all possible advantages, disadvantages, and then we make decision in the whole group together with Father Gregory. Father Gregory blesses it, and then we do something, do some changes at our school or something else. So if you bring your ideas to me, it doesn't mean that I say, no, we are not going to do it, or yeah, we are going to do it. My next step is to email all teachers and Father Gregory. And then after we made our group decision, we go forward. Classes. At our church school, at each class, we have two teachers, one teacher and one substitute. It's a nice substitution mechanism. In case a teacher got sick or he's not in town, we have a replacement. So we have two teachers per each class. Our youngest group, 5 to 6 years old group, this is my favorite because it's very sweet to teach this young group. And myself, I started, my participation in the church school started from teaching this group, and it was best memory about the church school was related to this time when my own son was 5 years old and I started teaching in school. So teachers for the Russian-speaking group are Sasha Piroshenko and her assistant and substitute Svetlana Mitchell. English-speaking group of the same age, Monica and her assistant and substitute Lauren. So what these teachers do, what this group do? Teachers teach virtues, they supported by crafts in order to make it more available for these level of age. Then teachers explained meaning of the major Orthodox feasts, and they again supported by crafts. In the end of each class, they have crafts. English-speaking group joins a Russian-speaking group, and they do crafts together. But the lesson is, this is the only group where we have two languages. The reason why we have it, because all English-speaking kids, they don't speak Russian, and some Russian-speaking little ones don't speak English. So for that purpose, we needed both languages for this age group, because this age group, kids didn't start going to the school yet, and they were not exposed to English language too much if mother is Russian speaking, so we needed both languages for this group. And as I mentioned, this is the sweetest group at church school. You should see how they teach. It's literally, unfortunately none of them is here to get this gratitude. You should see how they teach. It's literally from heart to heart of the kids. So what happens, usually I am sitting on a bench typing some church-related emails during the church school because I don't teach or coordinate. And then I hear how they teach virtues and I have a feeling that I stop doing something and I have a feeling I need to go to confession. So it's really age unrelated. So when I hear how they teach these virtues, these simple stories, it brings so much, like, oh, I need confession, I did it last week. So it's really touching. It touches any age. So these classes are great. If you have a child of this age and you miss this school, you can't imagine how much you miss if you miss. Because these teachers, Sasha and Sveta, they are so heartful people. And it's an experience, quite an experience to see how they teach kids in this age group. Next age group, 7 to 8 years old group. Our class is all unique. So the class itself has its own, how to put it, personality, specificity. So this group is most structured It's a very interesting group. They have a textbook. They teach based on law of God. The teachers for this group, Yulia Paramonova and Olga Galakova. Before they had Andrew Rodzianka, and it was so painful to lose him from school because he had an art of writing very short, concise emails. It's a very rare art. I am not there yet. When I want to put all my ideas, it becomes long. He's able to put it into 5 sentences and to put all information which he needs. He had a great communication with parents. He was very well organized, so he was an excellent teacher, but he stepped in a new position at church, the position of treasurer, and I can understand that his skills to be organized, to be able to write concise emails, they needed there even more. So Olga Galakova replaced Andrew Rodzianka for this age group. Thank you, Andrew. I'm taking this chance to thank for all your hard work you did this year. So thank you very much. And we got another very nice person, Olga Galakova, who is very reliable, very responsible, to replace Andrew, to step up in Andrew's place.
And experience.
And experience too, yes, she taught before. She taught before in our school. So as I said, they have a textbook, The Law of God. They get homeworks. Teachers remind them about the homeworks each week. And this group usually joins the youngest group in the feast preparations. And finally, the oldest group, 9 to 12-year-old group. The teacher for this group is Father Gregory. Jana substitutes him when he is not available because he started to travel a lot and we need a replacement for him, so Jana replaces Father Gregory. Before we had 2 languages for this group. Jana taught Russian and Father Gregory English. But since we need to have 2 teachers per group, we can't do it anymore. We need to have 2 teachers and we don't have many teachers at school, so we have just 1 English language group in this age. So last year, this group, they studied The Law of God by Serafim Slobodskoy, and they had homeworks, they had textbook, they had tests. But this year, we tried something new. So this year, we tried presentation. So each child is supposed to give 2 presentations per year. And then kids discuss and ask questions. In case a child is not prepared, which I'm afraid happens quite often, Father Gregory has a discussion with the kids. They ask him many different questions. So this is very nice that the oldest group in the church school is taught by Father Gregory. As if you remember, as I mentioned before, the second goal of the church school is to form Orthodox identity, and to have a priest as a teacher it's a great way to help kids to form Orthodox identity when kids can have this model role in front of them. And we also do pilgrimages in order to reach the second goal, to form kid Orthodox identity. And finally, challenges at the church school. Church school is highly depends on parents' cooperation. If parents doesn't drive the kids, we can't do anything. So kids is not a lesson. Then driving to the services. Again, in this we depend on parents. Then supporting Father Gregory's request to stay after the church school during the vigil, at least for the first part, at least for 1 hour, so we can practically apply the knowledge which we just got from the lesson. Another challenge, church school, Father Gregory uses to say that this is the, after the liturgy, this is the most important ministry at the church. On the other hand, failures are not as visible, and for this purpose, sometimes it's harder to get cooperation. For example, if something happens and we didn't say bring
we don't bring food, then everybody can see it, and this is a failure. Everybody can see it, people hungry and so on. If something fails, something fails at school, it's not that visible, it's not that obvious. Because of this, sometimes it's harder to get cooperation. On the other hand, consequences are long-term consequences, which you can't see tomorrow or right now, but you can see them later on. So this is another challenge at church school. That's it. If you have any questions about anything related to the church school, myself, Father Gregory, or other teachers will be happy to reply your questions.
Anyone have any questions for Lilia now?
That's the first
one. This man here, his name is Roman, would like to ask a question. You may know him.
How does language go, English and Slovenian? Do you have different groups?
So one group, the youngest, they have two languages, because this is the only age where we have kids who speak just one language, either English or Russian. Other ages, they all speak English, and we don't have enough resources to teach both languages. We will be happy to, and we will do it as soon as we get Russian-speaking teachers for these ages. But so far, we don't have resources.
For instance, also, we accommodate in the specific classrooms for the language that the child is most comfortable in. In Father Gregory's class, we have this year, we have implemented a different way for children to learn, and that's they do a presentation. Each child does a presentation for a lesson. So during the school year, a couple times they get a chance to present on a specific topic of their choice. And we have children who feel more comfortable speaking on the religious topic in their language, be it Russian or English. And so we allow them to do it in their language because we have the teacher there who can immediately translate and help children understand what is being presented.
Oh, so that's right. There was a presentation in Russian, and Jana translated it into English. Yeah, so we try to accommodate these needs in case child wasn't able. Usually it happens if mom speaks mostly Russian and she is not able to help to prepare a presentation. Then child prepares presentation in Russian and Jana translates it into English.
We also watched, in one of the lessons, we watched a parable movie. The movie was in Russian language, but it did have English subtitles. So we were able, again, to address both the children who know and understand Russian and children who can read English. And the subtitles were, you know, slow enough that everyone at that age group was able to read. And we also would stop and discuss if there was some misunderstandings or questions. So we'd stop and discuss what was just shown to us and what the point of the lesson is. So we can kind of go along, and we have not had any troubles or issues as far as understanding or disliking. So there's always peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So it's probably one of the main things to prepare as Orthodox Christians, right? The main school, you know, reason to be and goal. So is that maybe like, you know, when we have before the church school starts, we have those like choir groups that, right, they learn some stuff. Now we're starting to have the readers, right, groups. Yeah. So is that maybe more like to try to really, that the last group maybe really, really to participate in the actual life of the, like services, service life of the church? I mean, you know what I mean, like, I know my son is getting ready to, he goes to altar, he serves, but, you know, I would like him to maybe be more prone to have, to know how to read, you know, maybe not in all Slovenian, but you know, in English.
Yeah, as far as I know, reader's training, it's for adults, right?
But maybe
suppose
it should
if someone
be
younger wanted to participate, we wouldn't turn them away. as long as they're able to sit quietly. Most of the adults can sit quietly, not all, but most. And if they can be like that, then they will be welcome.
Did you get your answer?
Maybe it should be more kind of, I don't know, push for that, you know what I mean? To prepare them a little bit for more service.
Okay, I see.
Because that's the hardest
so
part.
Them. Yeah, Father Gregor received great peace goals. He started having groups, which is separate from church school, group for the outer service. That in the beginning it was a bell ringing group and the choir, kids choir, which leader leads. And actually it's important to mention they are preparing kids, they are preparing for the kids liturgy. And this is exactly what we are talking about, where only kids will serve, they will be the main people to serve there. Boys should serve on the altar and girls will sing. And Father, the ideal plan that only kids will sing during the service. So this is exactly practical application.
We're kind of trying to grow our warriors, right? If anything happens, we don't have church anymore, or we go underground, right? They need to learn, they need to know what to do to continue this.
Yeah, and this is why we ask parishioners to be patient with kids. If they are noisy during the service, we prefer them having them noisy here than when it's silent and they are somewhere outside, not with us.
I think the classes that we have before the church school really, I hope they strengthen the church school. I don't really see it as separate per se. I think it's just one overall effort. So I think it's really an important effort, and we hope that people will participate. We try to give the children something that adds value so that they learn something that will be useful for them as they grow and a way that they can engage with the church, whether that be through ringing bells, through singing, through serving in the altar. These are all ways that the children can engage with the church, and it's important that they have that opportunity so that the more they're engaged, the more they will persist. And the better chance you will have for your grandchildren to be in the church as well. Any other questions for Lilia? All right, well, let's thank Lilia for taking her time.